at least understood a bit more than we do now, hopefully. So we saw the Chovas HaLevavos, he quoted the Chovas HaLevavos, Shishtadis Eini Moyel Elohu Muchrach. Doesn't help, but it's Muchrach. And therefore, the person get what he needs without making any shtadlis. There's a gezeira, you have to make a shtadlis. What exactly the gedorim of that gezeira is what we're trying to find out. When we know that it came about as a result, you must keep this in the back of your mind all the time. When you're working on ishtadlis, ishtadlis, the need for ishtadlis came about as a result of the chet of Adam Rishon. Before the chet of Adam Rishon, there was no need for ishtadlis. Adam Rishon didn't have to do any ishtadlis. He got fed, he got taken care of. All he had to do was keep the mitzvahs, do what he had to do. Shema ba'ivet, he had to keep the Torah and keep the mitzvahs. That's what he had to do. That was his job. And the physical world got taken care of him by the malachim, whatever, whoever it was. Esav, Lemais was supposed to take care of it. As a result of the chet came about the klal of Zeis HaPecha. So the Zeis HaPecha has something to do with the chet. And it's clearly connected. It's not some arbitrary punishment that Hashem decided to give him. Ah, you did the chet, Agalok. Let's see what we're going to give him now. No, it's directly connected to the tikkun of the chet. Bear that in mind all the time when you're going through the different shittas of Ishtadlis. At the end of the day, everybody agrees that it has something to do with the tikkun of the chet of Adam Rishon.
What is the root of the word Ishtadlut?
Ishtadel, effort, exert, effort, Ishtadel, Ishtadel. Ishtadel is really to try. The ikkar root of the word Ishtadel is to try. Ishtadel lasot et zeh. I'll try to do it. A good question. I have to have a look and see what Jastro says.
That's so, then why is it Ishtadlis limited to working? So we have to make Ishtadlis when we work because of Kadadim Rishon. Why do we expand it in every other area?
Oh, good question. Excellent question. Another Abdama that's important. We see that there's Ishtadlis in other areas as well where the Ishtadlis, the Chayre, doesn't do anything. Health, for example, let's use health because the Chovas HaLevavos lumps the two together. He lumps health and panosa together. Whether health is coming under the heading of Zeis HaPecha Toich HaLechem, it means you have to take care of your physical being, means even to the degree of health. So that's also under the umbrella of Zeis HaPecha Toich HaLechem. Oh no, there's another makor for that. It's the rules are the same. It's not so poshut. If it's from Zeis HaPecha Toich HaLechem, like the Masilus Shoyim says, you have to do minimum Ishtadlis, because it's a tax. It's Perea tax, it's a paying a tax. It's a klala, you minimize the klala, you don't do more than you need to. If the refer is coming from there, then the same thing, but we see it's not like that. We see it's not like that. By refer, you have to do everything you can. You have to find the best doctor, and you have to go, and you have to look at it. Yeah.
And women, why women?
Why women? What women are not
here
to possess
a pair of tech? No, right. So why do they have ishtadlis?
In Panasa, they don't. You have the chiyuv. If she's going to work, it's because she's carrying your baggage. She's doing your chesed, that's all.
Women have no chiyuv of ishtadlis?
Show me the ksuva where she has to give you anything.
No, in general. Forget Panasa. In life, I don't know.
Where does she have chiyuv? She's either Barashus Aviv or Barashus Baalov.
So why does she have to go to a trine school? Why do girls have to trine school?
What have to what?
Trine school. Why do they have to study for the Torah?
Why do they have to go to school Bichlal? Look, that's the world we live in today. The world we live in today is the women are making the ishtadlis, but not because they have a chiyuv, because they were makabal upon themselves a chesed to carry the burden that you're supposed to be carrying.
Your daughter's didn't take that. Someone took that on corner.
What?
The girls go to school. They were told they have to go to school.
They've got to go to school, Vasada, whatever. No, but thank you. They have to go to school because they want to support their husbands in learning or whatever. They want to get a job because one person can't survive today or whatever. I don't know. But the chiyuv is on the husband. It's not on the woman ever, ever, ever. How you get that through to the Bochrim in Yeshiva is a chesnish, but that's not my problem. Look at the ksuva. A woman is either Bereshus Baila or she's Bereshus. Now you ask, what about a girl who's not Bereshus Aviv? And she's not married. So now does she have a chiv to make ishtadlis or whatever, for her own panos or whatever? Good question.
I told that to my
girl. What?
That there was a mistake in the ksuba. I'm not Ezer,
but Eflach, yes. What? Why is there a mistake?
There's none of that in marriage.
is to support the wife. It's a chiyuv. Where?
In the marriage.
Whose marriage?
In the marriage of the people that were signed.
I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about.
The contract said I will support you, but he didn't.
You said in who's your ksuba. You said in your
who's he?
Hey, that's what you said.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I told my brother this mistake. It was ksuba, but it was a hasna. It was in a
kawaii. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about in your ksuba. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry, I didn't understand.
No, the chiyuv.
Now you're asking about what about a woman who's in a matzav where there's no one else has a chiyuv to support her? Why then does she have to make ishtadus or not? Could be she doesn't. Could be she doesn't. I don't know. You know, when you start having pain in childbirth, she'll start making ishtadus for panosa. You know?
We're not far from that today.
Whatever, I'm just saying, you're right, we're gonna have to deal with exceptions and all the little prati in the sugya. We have to understand the klalim first and see how to apply them. But the question you're asking about, what are other areas, shiduchim, the oshit is at all, you don't have to make ishtadus in shiduchim. The others that make, you have to, whatever, it's not that from the Gemara. Refuah, what else? What else is there? That's about it. Where else do we make ishtadus? I mean parenting. It has nothing to do with ishtadlis. That's mitzvah. You have to put on tefillin. Ah, that's ishtadlis? So that's mitzvah. Who says? What mitzvah? Achnos kala. Achnos is kala. To those that said they have to make ishtadlis because of the mitzvah. Achnos is kala. You have a chiv to marry your daughter. You have to make ishtadlis. Yeah. I have a chiv to support my family as well. Doesn't mean I have a chiv to make ishtadlis. I'm saying the chiv to provide the product doesn't mean that I have a chiv to make ishtadlis. The chiv says any mile. The ishtadlis doesn't help. So what's the purpose of making ishtadlis? I don't know anybody today who would tell you don't have to make ishtadlis for your shidduchim, for your daughters and your children. If your children don't make any ishtadlis, just wait for them to come to you. With the boys it could be, you've got a good bocha or whatever in your house, maybe you don't have to make ishtadlis, but generally speaking you have to make ishtadlis in
shidduchim. What difference does it make if it's a good boy or not?
Well, because if it's a good boy you won't have to make ishtadlis because they'll be lining up outside your door.
But if you have to make ishtadlis, you have to make ishtadlis whether you have a
good boy. No, if I'm not sick I don't have to go to a doctor. If I have money, I don't have to go to work. I got $20 million in the bank. I have to make ishtadlis. It's also to make ishtadlis. You have to sit and learn. What am I making ishtadlis for? For what? For money? I got enough money. Well, I have to make more money. I'm going to have to live for the rest of my life. Or I have to go work? For what? Person's not sick, he has to go to the doctor.
Maybe ishtadlis is signing the bank statements.
Okay, whatever. Beseder, whatever. He's filling your tax returns. Okay, whatever that is. You know what I'm saying? If people are knocking your door down to marry your son or your daughters, and we have to go phoning Shatchanim and say, please have yiddach for me. What are you talking about? There's five guys in line waiting. I have to go running around trying to find a shidduch for my daughter for. If people are phoning me every day, please can you marry your daughter? You have to answer the phone. Okay, maybe that's ishtadlus. What are you talking about? Okay. Where do we learn this? What's his makor for saying ishtadlus moel ela ishtadlus mukhra? Where do we learn this from? And by the way, even after we finish this, before you start making any halachic decisions about your own ishtadlus or whatever, go ask a rov. Because there's no area you're going to mess up more than here. A lot of nagiyas ishiya, there's a lot of vested interests here that we have that it's very hard to be objective. And when we're talking about how much ishtadlus, when ishtadlus, what ishtadlus, it's a much more complicated sugya that we're going to deal with here. You have to ask, start off with someone who's objective first. If you can't find a rov, then find someone who's at least objective before you start making decisions about what time to wake up and when to go to work, when not to go to work. Dovah ze'an Elohim di mipashas Haman. Not Haman, but the man, the stuff they used to eat in the Midbar. Kosov b'shmais, v'yimdu ba'oimer v'lo adif hamarbe v'hamamiet lo hichsi ish lefi ochle loktoi. Somebody took a lot, somebody took a little, somebody took a lot, didn't get more, somebody took a little, didn't get less. Everybody according to what they could eat, that's what they take. But the mon, your ishtadlus didn't help you at all. No matter how much a person took, no matter how little he took, At the end of the day, what would be left over, what was the geyser that should be left over?
If someone didn't go out and take, they didn't do any shtadlus, they wouldn't have.
You had to go out and take. But how much you did made no difference. So therefore you see it has nothing to do with your shtadlus. How much food you had had nothing to do with how much you took.
If you didn't do anything.
You had to do.
We're not saying something. Not. You had to go out and collect. The tzaddikim didn't have to. It used to lie by their front door. Let me ask you a question. Once you're asking those kind of questions. Reb Shimon bar Yochai, when he was in the cave. Right? How did he live? What did he survive on?
Carob and the water.
He had to water the carob tree. He had to dig the well. Nisim, like any shtadlus. Yeah? How did the carobs get into his mouth? He had to put them in his mouth. So you see, even he had to make some shtadlus. That's not called shtadlus. Even Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who we learn out from him, you don't have to make shtadlus, but he had to put the carob in his mouth, he had to chew, he had to swallow. We're not talking about that kind of shtadlus. We're talking about how much you do. The guy went out and he was worried about what's going to be tomorrow, so he brought back 50 kilos of mar. Made no difference, he got left with his omer. Somehow went out and he took a matchbox, and he got an omer. That's what we're talking about. So shtadlus isn't what's making your panasa. What's supposed to be yours, you'll get. Even if he's able to collect much more, what's going to be left at the end of the day is how much was determined in Shemayim. What's not meant for you, nothing is going to get you. And what's meant for you, no one will stop you getting. No one can give you what's not magia to you, and no one can take away from you what's magia for you. Balai Musa de Navadok, Hayu Mesaprim Sipo Machakim, Al Isa Kafri Evyoin, Shehamtim Bekelion and Naim Somach Lachaga Pesach, Ledo Shemach del Daver, Shemachalek es Divra Ador. There was a certain, whatever, simple peasant who lived in a village, and Erev Pesach used to wait anxiously for the postman to bring the post. Maybe some family member in New York or whatever would remember him and send him a little bit of money, Erev Pesach, should be able to buy what he needs for the Chag. So he would sit there waiting for the postman to come with a check. After waiting a long time, he sees the postman coming in the distance. V'soka al shichmo, and he had his, remember, I don't know if you guys ever saw the postman, he used to have this big bag on his back, and he used to walk around and stick the, and then 98 of them a year used to get bitten in London by dogs. There was a study somebody once did, there were 98 postmen used to get bitten by dogs in London every year. Who told him to stop at 98 degrees, but that was the, it was a study somebody did over 20 years. To prove that there's no God, he proved that there was a, okay. Now he's very excited. The postman's coming. He ran out to greet him. A certain letter in the back of the guy's bag, whatever, caught his attention. That looks like something that could be what he's waiting for. He couldn't wait, he couldn't hold on anymore. He grabbed the matafa, took it, stole it, and ran away. He opens up the letter and he has a look and he says, wow, it's mamash meant for me. This was the letter that my uncle sent me. The problem was, there was a policeman who saw this whole event. And he saw this guy grabbing the matafar from the bear, whatever, and he arrested him. He took him to jail, prison. The story is, yeah, it's yours, it's not yours, whatever. He stole the matafar that was meant for him.
Even if he
Even somebody who steals, he's not getting more than he was meant to get. The guy stole. What did he stole? He stole himself. He stole his own thing. There's another lesson here, and is that if you just wait, you'll get what you're waiting for. Running out and doing the wrong ishtadlis is not going to give you any more. You'll get it. You'll get it in a kosher way. Why do you have to go do it in a non-kosher way?
You will lose after.
If Hashem, but even if you don't, if Hashem's going to give it to kosher, why go do the Aveira? This guy's over Gneva. He stole his own.
Why is he over Gneva?
Because he thought he was stealing it. The intention to take something that wasn't his. In the end, it turned out, okay, I'm not getting into the Lombus and the Gemara. This is a famous Gemara. You thought you were shooting a dog and you shot a person. You thought you were shooting a goy and you shot a yid. You thought you were going to shoot a yid and you shot a goy. Yeah, okay, fine. All the fantastic, long, lovely, schmucky Gemara. I don't get into that soon. Sach HaKol, you went and you stole something that you would have got for nothing. It doesn't add, it doesn't take away. Gemara Mufereshes that your panase is determined with Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. So you don't have to make more ishtadlis or possibly ishtadlis to get what's coming to you anyway. What did he gain from his gneiva, from his ishtadlis? To go to jail. If you would have waited and a bit of betochen in Hashem, and he wouldn't have mishtadled to get what was meant for him with his own koiches, he would have got his own thing in a kovadik way. There's another question that starts about security. Do you have to put in a burglar alarm? Do you have to put up a fence? Do you have to? It depends where you live. In South Africa, you need an electrified fence, or you can get away with a non-electrified fence. You need a burglar alarm. All these shilas that come up, you know, there's a lot of areas in shilas. Afilu mekotza ha'oila magiyu mitgalgal la'adamashe kotz niktzav lo. Hashem will bring it from the other side of the world. Hashem will turn the world upside down, inside out, to bring you what, if it's magiyu lo, you'll get it. What's not meant for you, even if it's mamash in your hand, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Something will go wrong, you'll get spent there, whatever. Something will happen. We don't know. The problem we have is we don't know what was allocated to us. If you know, on Motzi Yom Kippur, you would get a petek, then a pitka tovi. If we could see the pitka, if we could read the kvittel, the guta kvittel that you get on a shana rabba, you see exactly what's written. You're going to get this year $50,000. Then you know. But the problem is we don't know. We don't know what we're supposed to be getting and how much to work and where and how and whatever. We don't know what's kotsuv ladu mi Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. How much you're going to get, how much you're going to lose, how much, no. You don't have to, that's poshut, the Baal Shem Tov, his Tome had betochen mushlam. And that's how he taught his Talmidim. V'meshech kol yemei chayv hu hikdish lekach shos al avoid atzmis, v'kach hu dibe v'shulchonoysa kedoshim. Baal Shem Tov worked himself and built himself up into somebody who was hours and hours of work building himself into somebody that was a Baal Betochen, what we call, and that's what he used to speak about in his Talmud, used to hand over to his Talmidim. Maise bechosid mitalmudov or mitalmidei talmidov shirotzel and esur l'rabbi ulam yoyim maus metzuas bekisoy mauso. He wanted to go travel. I don't know if this is the same story, the famous story that's in the Brisk. I don't know. A lot of the Briska Maisim, they called him Hasidisha Maisim. You know the famous story about the Hasidisha Rebbe? The guy came to ask me if you can drink milk for the Abba Kaisers. That's a famous guy. Yeah, that was the Briska Rov. That's not a Hasidisha Maisim. So I don't know. This is the famous story by the Talmud who wanted to go to Nevada and got stuck Brisk. Well, it's another story about the Roshem Tov Lomashaneh. The Hasidim steal our stories, we'll steal their stories. It's Maisa bechosid mitalmidev od mitalmidev talmidev shirotz in a solar rabbi. Ulam loya amos mitzuas bekisoy. He didn't have the money to go. Ma also, did pala la kodesh bo, kishlach lo esa itzir la derech. You don't have the money. You want to go visit your rebbe. You don't have money for the trainers. You dab in that Hashem will give you the money. Kedako tomit kol eimus shehaya zokuk la mosul la dabarache. Hayu poyne la kodesh bo ku betfila me oimek libo yivunene. He, whenever he needed something to Hashem, he used to daven, he used to get it. V'nei b'dalkele beis ha-midrash, ro mit beis ha-hav, munachas b'toich botz. story about Paul Hussis. I heard the story recently about, I don't remember what it was about, anyway. On the way to the Beis Midrash, she saw a gold coin lying in the mud. Oh, we're just dubbing for Panos, and there's a Kruger End, an American Eagle, 1 ounce gold coin lying in the box. Well, my Lord, you know, he didn't pick it up. In upon a shuvel obvish of an I'm vomer. He turned around to Hashem and said, Rabbi Shalom, excuse me, but I have a request. Matbaya na ki? The Lord Rabbah, what do I have to get a dirty coin? You want me a clean coin? To go dirty my hands and dig something out of the dirt of the bots and dirty my hands in order to get panosa. That's beyond the ishtadlis that I'm allowed to make. The fima dragosa, according to his dagger. And he went to the Beis Midrash to learn. You think this is stories about the Baal Shem Tov? I'll tell you a story about somebody who walked the streets not that long ago. A little while later, another yid came. And he saw this gold coin lying in the box, and he picked it up. Kinachoto mi'abot shenipakbo, cleaned it nicely, polished it. V'chivon shelo'ay and itzdarech lo. He was a big ashir, he didn't need this. As he chlit, netet oto lecha, niyesh v'es ha-midrash, now he can give it to Tztoker. So go to the Beis Midrash, you'll find somebody learning, need some money, he'll give it to him, Tztoker. Keshenichnas pnim ha'ivchin v'yad b'chosid anal. He came into the Beis Midrash, he saw this chosid sitting there learning. Nigash alav v'nois, lo saman pa'ya. He understood how the guy was very poor and what a tzaddik he was. He gave him the coin. When did you find this coin? So explain to him that he found it in the box, whatever. He's a rich guy that needed to take it to Stockholm. From the story, you see that ishtadlis doesn't make any difference. There's another aspect here which we have to deal with as well, is that it may be that you're able to live like this, but your family can't. There's a famous maise by Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, Zatzal. He didn't live that long ago. His grandchildren are running around the streets today. So great-grandchildren. We had one of his grandchildren teaching the yeshiva when we first got it. He used to take a chalukah, he used to take a stipend from the koilel, and that was his panos, and he wouldn't take any more money, and he wouldn't make any shtadlis, he wouldn't do anything. They once came to us, and were sending a minion, they wrote from Kutzlar to a certain person who was very ill, and they needed a minion to go to the koisel. Very often they used to write to people to go daven at the koisel for koilel, whatever. So he closed his gemara, and he put in his coat, and as they were walking to the koisel, he heard that the person who asked them to daven, was giving everybody a certain amount of money if they would go down to the koisel to daven. So he turned around and he went back home. They said, where are you going? He said, I didn't think they would get a minion, but you tell me they're paying people to go. If I know they'll have plenty of a minion, I don't need to go. Why didn't he go take the coin as well? He wouldn't make any ishtadlis that he didn't need to make. He took his coil of stipend, which wasn't enough to live on, but that's what he did. He also had a klal in his house that they never borrowed. If there wasn't food in the house, there wasn't food in the house. And plenty of times there wasn't food in the house. The way people lived in Yerushalayim 100 years ago. Lord, not the way we live today. The millionaires of 100 years ago didn't live like we live today. Anyway, the story came out because the neighbor involved in the story knew that it was a very muzar story, and he hung around and he looked through the window and he followed him around to see what was going to happen. That's how the story came out. Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi, I think his name was, also one of the tzaddiki Yerushalayim, who told the story. He was zoiche to this maaser. So Rav Yosef Sonnenfeld came home one day, and his rebbetzin had borrowed a loaf of bread from this neighbor, which wasn't allowed. You don't borrow bread. There's no bread. There's no bread. I won't eat. But you don't borrow. She couldn't handle it anymore. She couldn't stand watching the kids, whatever, anymore. So anyway, she went and she borrowed a loaf of bread. He understood that this was not a poshut event. So he came and he looked through the window. He wanted to see what was going on. So he goes around, someone came on. He washed. Made a brocha, sat down, made a motzi. And as he put the bread into his mouth, she said to him, I borrowed that loaf. She also wanted to teach him a lesson. Anyway, he was obviously shocked. Ate a kazayis, benched, got up, put on his coat, and walked outside. And as he walked outside, he heard him mumbling. This neighbor heard him mumbling. It seems she's not holding where I thought she's holding. I have to make this. To make it shtadlis. What ishtadlis does the Vayosach and Sonnenfeld make in Yerushalayim, where there was no, what ishtadlis you going to make? He walked a few hundred meters from his house, kicked around in the sand, picked up three gold Napoleons, put them in his pocket and went on. The Meisel came from somebody who was one of the Gedoli Yerushalayim, neighbor of Yerushalayim. It's a well-known Meisel. The famous Meisel, the Briskerov, and the Briskerov was in Vilna. So he himself didn't make any shtadlis for food. There was no food in Vilna, it was very hot. His sons used to go and collect or whatever and bring him food. Whatever they brought him, he ate. He never kept over for tomorrow. I mean, it wasn't like he was guzzling, gorging himself on all the, you know, he was lucky if they had a slice of bread. We wouldn't eat half now and keep half for tomorrow. Because Hashem, give me bread today, I'll give me bread tomorrow. If he wants me to live, I'm not going to die of starvation. If he wants me to die of starvation, I'll die of starvation. Doesn't matter how much he's done this, I make. As was the episode. Erev Yom Kippur, he had the following cheshbon. Tomorrow's Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah deraisa to eat. So for that, I'm allowed to make ishtadlis. And he kept some over, kazas, he kept over from today's bread for tomorrow, because that's not for my life, that's for mitzvah, that I have a chiv to be worried about. As they sit down to eat the suda, an old lady came in, she said, I baked for the briskerov a beautiful loaf, because I knew it's Erev Yom Kippur whatever, and I've been saving the flour and whatever, to give the briskerov a loaf. And this morning, after I put the loaf in the oven, a missile or whatever, a mortar or whatever, hit the oven and blew up the bread and destroyed all the bread. The Briskerov said, you see, even for that I wasn't allowed to ishtadlis. Even for that was too much ishtadlis. Had I not kept over from yesterday the bread, the missile wouldn't have hit the oven and I would have had a nice fresh loaf to eat from today. So even for him that was too much ishtadlis. You have to know, people that lived like that. The ishtadlis doesn't make any difference. We're going to stop here, but I'll just remind you what we said originally is that's all good, that if it doesn't work out, you won't have charota. You can do all these things. You want to go ahead and live like the Paul sometimes Sonnenfeld, like the Brisker of Gesundheit. But make sure that you're holding on a level that if you don't get the loaf of bread, or you don't keep the slice, or you don't find the gold coins, or etc., etc., or there's no food chasvelich in your house, or whatever, that you won't have any charota. You'll be fine with it. Otherwise, don't do this.
That's never going to be.
No, you have to find the nakuda. You have to find the nakuda where you're making ishtadlis, that if it doesn't work, you won't have charota. Why didn't I do more ishtadlis? Because you knew you were doing the right amount of ishtadlis for
that's
you.
That's a lot of ishtadlis.
Not depends on the person. Depends on the person.
For me,
I don't know about for you. That's a cheshbon you have to sit down, you have to work it out. Rav Shach, I know this Meisel, a Meisel, that a person went to Rav Shach to ask him about ishtadlis or whatever. Rav Shach said, I want to see all your accounts. Bring all your cheshmal accounts, your maim accounts, your makolek bill. I want to see your schirut. Sit down, make a cheshbon. How much do you need to live on, etc., etc.? Before you sit down, make a cheshbon. How much you have to work? Avada. It's not just a mabaka. You've got to sit down and make a real, proper cheshbon. Because if you're making too little ishtadlis, it's not good. If you're making too much ishtadlis, it's not good. You have to find that point. Now, the point's never going to be exact to the nth degree, obviously. Especially in the world where you have different the ishtadlis, you have different tekufas you go through. There's some months that are busier, some are less busy, or whatever. There's a lot of complex cheshbonis here, and you have to sit down with the roof and work it out. But the nakuda you're looking for is the minimum you can do that you won't have charota. That's the bottom line. How you find that nakuda? I told you, you have to ask a Rav. You have to Rav understands the sugya. A lot of Rabbonim out there today, they don't know what to do. You bring them this piece of Rav Dessler that I'm giving you now, they don't know what you're talking about. They go, wow, hey, it's a rayon yafeh.
Not too far on laziness.
That's one of the things when you're helping somebody work out, if anybody comes to you, you're going to be the objective third party who's going to help them work out their ishtadlis. One of the things you have to test for is how much of this is betochen, how much is laziness. One of the big traps of betochen is, we mentioned this here, one of the biggest dangers, there's two dangers of having betochen. The one is it's a cover up for laziness, and the other one is you become such a bilbal betochen, you stop helping other people, you give them sharing betochen. Instead of helping the oni who comes to your door and giving him a meal, you give him a sharing betochen. That's a big problem. You so appreciate and value betochen, you start giving it to everybody else. Don't give other people betochen. Give them money. Give them food. Afterwards, you want to sit in down mechazakim with betochen gesundheit. But don't do it. You know, the guy comes to your door and he wants money. Give him a copy of chayvus levavos shav betochen. Tell him come back to him in a week. You know, so, no, give him food. Those are the two big dangers of destiny brings down in betochen. You have to be very careful. But the biggest danger is you're going to make either too much ishtadlis and you're going to start believing in your ishtadlis, or you're going to make not enough ishtadlis and you're going to have charota that you didn't make enough ishtadlis, and you'll destroy the bot, whatever betochen you have, you'll destroy that. That's the big danger here. Okay, we'll see. We'll go fight it. We'll learn. We'll see. First, you have to send all the principles and then apply it to your life. There's no bigger area that you have to metuple with. What area is more... it's more income in your life.
Usually we have standards. That means Parnasa, usually people working 8 hours by day, where you are. More, it's not good.
Yeah, but we're talking to people here who are working on betochen, everybody, yeah, and also people that want to sit and learn as much as they can. A guy who doesn't really want to learn so much, not working on betochen, go work 8 to 5, go get a job and work. Not saying not. But when you're working on betochen, you're trying to machazik betochen, and you're trying to sit and learn Torah and be involved in Ha'ilam Aruchni, so then it becomes a careful cheshbon. You have to work out exactly what you're doing. Otherwise, just work as much as you want. If it's not working on betochen, lo manyen oto, go work 18 hours a day. Lo echpatlit. Depends why you're working as well. There was a yid that used to work 17 hours a day, used to learn an hour a day. He used to come fetching to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim told him, when you get to Shemayim, tell them you learned 18 hours a day. In my name. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the whole day you're out there working, you're platzing to go to the Beis Midrash. All you can think about is, when can I go learn? He said, the people that are sitting in the Beis Midrash learning 15 hours a day and working 1 hour a day, that when they get to Shemayim, they're going to get attributed with 16 hours of working the whole day. Because while he was learning, all he could do was think about was work. When he was davening, all he could think about was work. You have to be real with yourself. You've got to be very, very real with yourself. But I haven't worked this out yet myself, so I can tell you the theory. All
right. I know that you're holding.